We welcome you to worship today. A few announcements we'll make as we get started. We'd like to find out who is in worship. And the way we do that, there are pew pads on the inside aisle of every pew. We invite members and guests. If you could take this pew pad, write your name down, give us contact information, check the appropriate boxes. This helps us find out a little bit more about you. Once you're done, if you could send it down so everybody has a chance to fill that out on your pew. Once it reaches that last person, if you could send it back to where it got started, and we do ask a favor of the first person, when it comes back to you, if you could tear out the pages that were used today, that'll help our ushers collect those at the end of the service. And if that's way too many instructions, just look at what other people are doing and follow that. It'll be fine. It is a good example. It is a sermon illustration to follow other people who are following Jesus. All right, music minister. Okay. I'm the minister of announcements. All right. A couple of announcements to draw your attention to. We reminded to our kids, we are having children's time today. Invite them to come down for just a few minutes. Also, we are in the sign-up period for our prayer partner ministry. All the adults, we only have about 15 children and youth who have yet to find a prayer partner. There are 15 lonely children and teenagers who need you to be praying for them. So, if you haven't picked up an envelope, today is your chance. Grab an envelope as you leave. All the college students are taken care of. But we have about 10 children and about 5 youth that we need to get covered. So if we can finish those up as soon as possible, that would be very, very helpful. We are continuing our parent discipleship class this Wednesday night at 6:45. And we hope that you are welcome to be a part of that. Parents, grandparents, all are welcome to be a part of that. Today at 4 o'clock, our family ministry team will be meeting down near the coffee house, which is in the lower level of the education building, just behind me and to my left. Let's see, any other announcements? Grief support today at 3 o'clock. And where you have that? In the conference room, 3 o'clock. Let's see, other things are listed there in your bulletin. Just make note of all the things that are happening in the next few weeks. We want to say a special welcome to our guests today. We are blessed by your presence, and we want to give something to you. A moment ago, you gave us your information on the pew pad, and we're very thankful for that. Just raise your hand if you're a guest right where you are. Our ushers will recognize you, and they will give you a packet of information. Inside this packet, you'll find a letter from our pastor welcoming you to our church. Also, you'll find a newsletter that tells you what's going on in the life of our church and a little bit of the story of College Park. So thank you for being a part of worship this day. Change. It is the only constant in our world, and many times we fight it. But I tell you, I can't fight weather change like it happened yesterday. Did anybody like that weather yesterday? It was good for football. It was good for putting out mulch in the playground. Very thankful for all the people that put out mulch in the playground. It was change is really a good thing. And as often as we hate facing it, how has God changed you and I? What has he done in us and through us because of the love that never changes? This morning, we should be thankful for change and how God doesn't leave us where we were, but through his grace and through his mercy and through only his power are we different today than we were before we met him. In that spirit, let us prepare for worship.
The Lord reigns, he
Will you pray with me? Father, on the beauty of this day, we pause to say thank you. Because as we think about all the ways that you have changed us, from the moment that we were born to this day, if we were honest, we would see all the ways that you have molded us and shaped us. The people that you have put in our lives, what we have learned from your Holy Scripture, and how the example of Christ has changed us from within. In you, we become who we were created to be from the beginning. Be in this place, we pray. Show us your mirror. Show us where we need to change to be more like Christ. Be in this place, because only in your presence can we see ourselves for who we are. And we so desperately want to change to be more like Christ. So be in this place, we pray. In Jesus' name.
All right.
That's ooh. All right. Good. mess up and you have to start all over again. All right? What is the purpose? Now, all these phones are different, right? Right? But what do we do with phones? We call people, right? We talk to people. Right? There was these things. They were called remember the phones that were in the bags? Remember the bag cell phones? How many had a bag cell phone? Raise your hand. There were these phones that used to come in these bags that came in these, that you'd have to have a book pack to carry. These things were so, there were phones that used to live in your trunk. Anybody have a cell phone that started in your trunk? Yeah, I know. Okay. Y'all are showing your age. All right. What's the purpose of these phones? To talk to somebody, right? It doesn't matter if you use a big one like this, or a flip one like this, or an iPhone. The important thing is we try to talk to people. Really? That never changed, did it? Here's something I want you to listen for. Very important this morning as Pastor Raymond talks. He's going to talk about the one thing that never, ever changes. And that is Jesus. And that He loves us. Now, church may be sometimes different. Do we do church a little bit different in the 9 o'clock service with the band than we do here in the 11 o'clock service? Are things a little bit different? But do we say the same thing, that Jesus loves us? We say the exact same thing. It doesn't matter if we use a flip phone or an iPhone. If we tell people about Jesus, it never changes. The message never, ever changes. Sometimes what we use to tell people that we love them or that Jesus loves them changes. But what never changes? Jesus. Will you pray with me? God, thank you so much that Jesus never changes. Even though sometimes the way we say it or the telephones that we use to tell it change, Jesus never does. And He loves us no matter if we're 3 years old, 30 years old, or 300 years old. He loves us. Help us to always remember that we can trust in Jesus because He never changes. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can go back to your seat now. Good job.
And God uses the Psalms to tell us about His love and His graciousness and His mercy. Anytime you open up to a psalm in the Bible and you're looking for compassion, understanding, for God's presence to speak to you, you can open to one of these wonderful chapters and you will find God speaking directly to where you are in life. It's just awesome. It's great. So we'll be reading from Psalm 33. And you're invited to read along with me, 396 in the Pew Bible. Sing joyfully to the Lord, you righteous. It is fitting for the upright to praise Him. Praise the Lord with the harp. Make music to Him on the 10-stringed lyre. Sing to Him a new song. Play skillfully and shout for joy. For the word of the Lord is right and true. He is faithful in all He does. The Lord loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of His unfailing love. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, their starry host by the breath of His mouth. He gathers the waters of the sea into jars. He puts the deep into storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the people of the world revere Him. For He spoke, and it came to be. He commanded, and it stood firm. The Lord foils the plans of the nations. He thwarts the purposes of the peoples. But the plans of the Lord stand forever. The purposes of His heart through all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people He chose for His inheritance. From heaven the Lord looks down and sees all mankind. From his dwelling place he watches all who live on earth. He who forms the hearts of all, who considers everything they do. No king is saved by the size of his army. No warrior escapes by his great strength. A horse is a vain hope for deliverance. Despite all its great strength, it cannot save. But the eyes of the Lord are on those who fear him, on those whose hope is in his unfailing love, to deliver them from death and keep them alive in famine. We wait in hope for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. In him our hearts rejoice, for we trust in his holy name. May your unfailing love be with us, Lord, even as we put our hope in you. May God add his blessing to the reading of this his holy word.
Will you pray with me? Your unfailing love, God, is what sustains us. For we feel many times that that is the only thing that we have to hold on to, is your love that has never let us go. Father, sometimes our world is hostile to your ways and to your truth. And we find it difficult to stand up for what is right, because we feel alone. Remind us that in this ever-changing world, whether it's technology or government or even our morality, which seems to change as it were on shifting sand, may we hold on to the cross of Christ, the message of the gospel that never changes. May it be the foundation for my life, for our lives. For when all is said and done, when questions still do not have answers, we know that Jesus is the answer. Is the answer to poverty and hunger and hurt, despair. Let that be what we base our life on. May we be the kind of believers that are full of your passion and full of your strength and your courage to go out into this world and wherever we are, to boldly proclaim the unending love of Christ. May we become more like Jesus, we pray. For that's exactly what our world needs. And may we rely on your unfailing love for the very breath that we breathe comes from you. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Thank you. Please join me as we go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, it's with great joy that we gather here in your name today. And Lord, we realize that joy doesn't come from anything that we have done. It doesn't come from the world that we live in. Lord, we realize that joy is ours because of your Son, Jesus Christ. And we thank you for that gift. Lord, we recognize you as the creator and owner of all. And we thank you for entrusting us with a portion of what you've given us. And we pray that we would use everything you've given us, whether it be material things or whether it be gifts, talents. We pray that we would use those in a way that would be pleasing to you and would further your work in our community and in our world. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you.
How many of you remembered that this was National Back to Church Sunday? Did you honestly remember? I know some of you did because we have guests here this morning that were invited by some of you, and we are grateful for everyone that is here, certainly. We had a number of guests in the 9 o'clock service as well, so we're excited about that. Today, we are going to kind of finish up Hebrews, at least our study of it. Next week, we begin a new series entitled 40 Days in the Word. I'm really excited about it. I think a couple of Sunday school classes are going to be following along with the small group study in it. But it's a good reminder, and kind of in the fall is a good time of year to have reminders about God's Word, the significance of God's Word in our lives. We all know that, but it's good to have a concentrated study on that every now and then. And that's what we're going to begin next week, and I'm really excited about it. So y'all come back, bring guests with you. Continue to do what you do so well, and that's love and encourage one another as we worship together. But this morning, let's finish up Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 13, the title of this section, you know, in your Bible, sometimes the titles were kind of added to describe what's going on. Hebrews chapter 13 is titled Concluding Exhortations, and that kind of gives us a hint as to the fact they're winding down. You know, last week we talked about the fact that many theologians believe that Hebrews was actually a long sermon that was written down for the sake of those who could learn from it. And when you see something like concluding exhortations, it's kind of like when the pastor says, and so for my final point, everybody goes, okay, good, we're winding this thing down. Well, that's kind of what's happened here. The writer of Hebrews is kind of laying the rest of it out, you know, and here's what he says beginning in verse 1. Keep on loving each other as brothers. Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by doing so, some people have entertained angels without knowing it. Remember those in prison as if you were their fellow prisoners, and those who are mistreated as if you yourselves were suffering. Marriage should be honored by all, and the marriage bed kept pure, for God will judge the adulterer and all the sexually immoral. Keep your lives free from the love of money, and be content with what you have, because God has said, "Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you." So we say with confidence, "The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me?" Remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Then jumping over to verse 15 and 16. Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that confess his name. And do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices, God is pleased. There's a lot of good stuff here in chapter 13, and probably verses that you've heard quoted before and maybe couldn't remember exactly where they came from. There's several of those type of verses there in Hebrews 13. Hebrews has an opportunity to share with us how to live faithful lives, how to live faithful lives in all that was going on. It's interesting. Hebrews is that kind of book that can spark a lot of discussion. I was sharing with the 9 o'clock service, if y'all want to spark some lively conversation, pretend that you walk into a room and you've got a whole group of Bible theologians there. That's a good time, isn't it? Yeah, that's a pretty lively crowd. Okay, you go, and there's a whole crowd of Bible theologians. If you really want to spark some conversation, say, how about Paul's epistle to the Hebrews? And the reason that would spark such a lively conversation is because most of them in that room probably would not think that Paul wrote it. And scholarship generally agrees that it probably wasn't a Pauline letter just because of the language and some other things. And the other thing they probably wouldn't agree on is the fact that it was an epistle. As I said, some believe it was a sermon, some believe it was a letter, others believe it was just a document that was recorded and widely circulated. We know it was widely circulated in the early church because it's referenced by other early church fathers. Okay? And the third thing that they would get sparked up about is the fact that it probably wasn't written to the Hebrews. Okay? But in the context of all that, we know what it is. We know it is wonderful instruction. We know that the church trusted it. We know it was canonized. We know that it's some incredible instruction on how to live faithful lives in a world that's ever-changing. You know, I've heard it says, you know, there's never been a time in history that's this immoral and blah, 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 blah. Go back and read about the first century in Rome, and you'll shake your head and go, well, maybe I was wrong on that deal. Because to the people that this was written to, that they needed these kind of instructions. Go back and read this again. You know, keep your marriage pure. Don't get caught up in living for money. Look for the circumstances in life that will bless the Father through your sacrifice of praise to Him. That's what they needed. That's what they desperately needed to hear, because they lived in times that were very, very bizarre. So is it transferable to today? Sure it is. There's a lot of change going on. You know, a lot of change going on. Hebrews is one of those passages, is one of those works in Scripture that helps us to be obedient. Obedient to the Messiah, while we're really not all that impressed maybe with society and the way it does business, we should be with our Savior. We should be impressed with who He was and who He is teaching us to be. We could rephrase the title of this book. We could rephrase it to say, Adaptation. Roll with the punches. Or to quote the great theologian's REO Speedwagon, roll with changes. Roll with the change. That was a song by a band that was on the album with the best title ever in history. The title of the album was, You Can Tune a Piano, But You Can't Tune a Fish. You have that, don't you, Kent? You have a copy of that. He has a copy of it. I mean, you know, and you know, we laugh about it, but there's a lot of truth to rolling with the changes, okay? Because change is constant. And seriously, most of us would say that being able to adapt is a sign of a healthy organism. It's the sign of a healthy person. And being able and willing to adapt is the sign of a healthy church. I'm reminded by a story of a gentleman from the mountains of East Tennessee. And I can say that because that's my ancestry. Both my parents came from Eastern Tennessee. And this gentleman and his family went to the big city. They went to Nashville. And they went to the Opryland Hotel. Have you ever been to the Opryland Hotel? Remarkable. Quite remarkable. Well, he walks in and he's like this. I mean, he's amazed at what is all is going on around him. And he sees the door of an elevator. Well, he's never seen an elevator before. So he's standing there just looking at this shiny door, wondering what that is. And he sees this elderly woman just barely making it get onto the elevator, and the door's closed. And he's sitting there looking at, what is this? And about a minute later, the door's open, and this beautiful young woman comes scampering out of the elevator. And he turns around and looks at his son and says, Son, go get your ma and put her in that thing. You know, he couldn't have handled ma, I'm thinking, if he, you know. and this whole story, and it's a joke, and some of you probably heard it before, but the whole premise behind the story, it only makes sense if you understand that here is someone who is not technologically advanced. He doesn't understand what is taking place. What his eyes are seeing, he's not processing, because he does not have the necessary knowledge to process that correctly. And you say, well, that's funny. Well, to a certain extent, that's kind of all of us. You know, things are changing so much with technology that it seems to continually outrun us. In times go by, people knew how to fix their own cars. You know, they knew how to use a telephone. Now, if you want to fix a car, you need to be as much as a computer technician as you do a mechanic. You know, and the instructions for a smartphone could have been written by an MIT guy working on a thesis 20 years ago. I mean, it's unbelievable how technology advances. And in a real sense, we're stuck in this world that is changing so rapidly, it's almost unbelievable, for better or for worse. And it's almost every human being's destiny to either change or face the alternative of kind of getting run over or left behind by what's going on with all the technological advances in the society and everything that changes within our society. So you can adapt to that, or you can resist change, or you can do like some of the guys on, have you seen the show Mountain Men on the History Channel? I don't know if you've seen that thing, but it's about men who have basically have said, I'm going to withdraw from this world because I don't like all the change. And some of them withdrew and others just never left. I mean, you know, they just never left from where they grew up from. And they say, well, we're here because we don't like change. Well, that's not true either, because things change for them. The seasons change. Weather changes. All of this changes. Their relationships with one another change. They're getting older. Change is unavoidable even for those who just completely want to deny it. It's unavoidable. And our scripture lesson today, fortunately, gives us a truth that we cling to. When everything else is changing, when things seem to be spinning out of control, we know that one thing remains constant. And that is in verse 8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You know, I don't know about you, but that is a source of incredible encouragement. And when it seems like life is just spinning out of control, I know that Jesus is the same. I can rest in Him, and I can rest in His love. For the congregation that this was written for, or written to, or is addressed by the book of Hebrews, I have to wonder where they were, what the dynamics of their life were like at the time. We know generally what first century was like, but I wonder about that specific congregation. You know, were they like us? Did they have kind of the same values we did? Did they value that strong sense of family and community? And how were they in terms of their relationships? Were they getting along well together and really loving and encouraging one another? I wonder about that as I read the book. Thomas Long is professor of teaching at Candler School of Theology at Emory University in Atlanta. And as in his commentary on the book of Hebrews, he says that the author of this book is speaking to a congregation who was tired. That's his take on it. He talks about the tiredness of the community addressed in Hebrews, tiredness that comes with the territory of living distinctive and faithful lives in the midst of wearying circumstances. I don't know about you, but I get tired sometimes. You get tired? Yeah. We get tired. That's not a character flaw. You know, that's a reality of our existence. You know, we think we know what God wants us to do as a person. We think we know what God wants us to do as a people of God. But from time to time, we can get tired in God's service. And it's good when we're honest with one another about that, because it's hard to encourage someone if we don't know where they are, right? So be honest with one another. You know, you may get tired of teaching Sunday school. There may be one Sunday when you leave here and go, I'm just not sure I can come back. I've said that, and Sandra says, you have to. You're the pastor. You got to go back next week. We may get tired from caring for other people. Maybe you have aging parents. Maybe you have a child that has special needs. Sometimes, even though you love them, you still get tired. You may get tired from going to choir rehearsal every Wednesday. No, never, never. I'm sorry. Maybe it's just the band that gets tired of coming to rehearsal on Thursday night. We may get tired from being responsible, feeling that sense of responsibility for our community, for the schools and the sports programs, the fine arts, the hospital, the service clubs, the library. I mean, we may get tired, and that doesn't mean we don't care, does it? No. No, it doesn't mean we don't care. It doesn't mean that we've lost faith in our ministry. No, none of those things. But we're tired. I believe we get tired because we're tired of the change that we have to face constantly. Just about the time we think we've got it down pat, then something happens and everything changes. We have to adapt and adjust to things that we thought we had a firm grasp of. We have to accommodate things that we thought were under control. And then somebody says something and it sparks this and that, and it's suddenly out of control. We thought we had command of these things, and then it all changes. We thought we had control of the children's sermon, and then all of a sudden it goes berserk. We thought we had control of the Sunday school lesson, and then a question comes in out of the left field, and you go, ah, you know. But life, in a bigger picture, is like that. Not just in specific circumstances, but sometimes our whole life circumstance changes dramatically, quickly, and we feel out of control and we get tired. Unfortunately, none of us has the luxury to fail to change or to simply ignore it. To be quite frank, change is too powerful. It happens whether we like it or not. And a church, as a church, we can adapt to changes that take place with our surroundings. We need to adapt to the things that used to work and try new things to help connect people to people and people to Christ. We have to. Our pursuit to adapt never ends. We constantly need to change the way and the way that we spread the gospel. Notice I said the way that we spread the gospel. The gospel never changes. God's truth never changes. But the way we present it has to constantly change. That's part of what it means to be a disciple. That's who we are. And yet, at the same time, we have that constant eternal message, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Yesterday, today, and forever. He is our constant in an ever-changing and an ever-confusing world. As a healthy congregation, we must adapt. While the truth of the gospel never changes, our world dramatically changes at an ever-increasing pace. It's really astounding. Leo Tolstoy is the Russian novelist, and I quoted him several weeks ago. He's best known for his classic War and Peace. And he once said, everybody thinks of changing humanity and nobody thinks of changing himself. Tolstoy actually wrote from his personal experience because late in his life, he turned to the teachings of Jesus Christ. He especially loved the writing of the Sermon on the Mount. And it changed his life. So he wrote from experience when he wrote the book, The Kingdom of God is Within You. And with his permission and with your permission, I would personally like to change his statement from everybody wants to change and yet nobody wants to change to everybody wants to change humanity and yet nobody thinks of allowing God to change them. See, trying to change yourself is a magnanimous task. I've heard people say, well, I'll do this, that, and the other once I can just change, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, you know, you're not capable really of making that change by yourself. You need God's help. You know, trust in Him. Use His power. Use His strength so that He can bring about that change in your life. And that's my prayer for us today, that we would realize that the change that we know we need to make in our own life, that we would lean on God's strength, on God's power to make that change. Open yourself up. Be honest with yourself and with God and allow Him to change you from within. When you leave worship today, my prayer is that we would ask ourselves, with Jesus' help, how can I change my world for the better and for the sake of the gospel? And as part of that, God, what is it that you want to change within me? Start there, then allow Him to use you. Let's pray and ask for His help. Gracious Father, we know that we're incapable of making the changes in our life that we know we need to make. But Father, we're also incredibly grateful that through Your power, through Your strength, those changes can be made. allow us the privilege of trusting you completely to make those changes in our own lives so that we can be agents of change in this world for the better. God, we know change is constant. Help us to be agents of change for the better. That's our prayer. Father, we pray that we would be up to the task, that we would be obedient to the prompts that you put in our path this week. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. If you're here and you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I invite you this morning. I'm going to be here in the front in just a moment. We're going to stand and sing, and I'll be glad to speak with you about your relationship with Christ. Certainly where you are, you can just cry out to the Father and say, God, I need you. I want a personal relationship with you through Jesus Christ. I'd be glad to meet you sometime this week, talk with you about it, whatever your desire is there. We want to help you make that first decision, which is truly a life-changing decision in your life. You may be a believer, but you're struggling with some things and you need to get reprioritized. Certainly, you can talk with God right where you are, or I'll be glad to speak with you and pray with you if you'd like. You're here and you may want to belong to this church and quote an official membership. There's ways we receive people. I'll be glad to talk with you about that if that's your desire. And whatever your desire is, I invite you to be serious about that. Spend time with God even as we stand and sing together. I encourage you, following the benediction and the response, to greet one another, encourage one another, then go out and enjoy this beautiful day. Let's pray together. Gracious Father, thank you for this day. Father, we thank you for the gifts that you've given us, the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, being the most incredible gift that we could ever experience. Father, we pray that as we go from here, we would be encouraged. No matter what our hang-ups, no matter what our deal is this week, Father, that we would turn it over to you and allow you to work through us to bless your name by blessing others in your name. Father, it's in the name of your precious Son that we pray and ask all of these things. Amen.